this is fantastic. We're psyched. I mean, we're working on this, you know, for the past couple of years or so, and it's cool to finally, you know you worked on a great film, and it's good to finally get the public, get a chance to see what we've been up to.
So how long? So 3 years? How long have you been working
on that? Yeah, I
mean,
overall, the project has probably been in effect for about 3.5 years at least. And there's all these different phases of production that it goes through. Animation itself was probably the past year and a half.
Yeah.
And so it's you know, it's been a labor of love, though. I mean, these characters are great. I think they'll resonate, you know, forever within these parks and, you know, and in theaters. And it's going to be fantastic.
With Dr. Facilier, does he? Did you take him from like the birth of the idea, like spitballing for him? And
yeah, I mean, the directors John Musker and Ron Clements had the idea of who the Dr. Facilier was, and you know, it's in a lot of cases it's like, here are the characters, here are the beats, this is the guy that we like for you to do, and from that point it's just a matter of, okay, great, let me just find out who this guy is, let me do my own research. You know, let me move this guy around, you know, and I know he's going to sing a great song. You know, let me figure out all the bones of this character.
No pun intended.
Yeah, right. True. And and so then there's things that you add and you know, you sort of stylistically, you know, you think, okay, great, this guy's going to have a great, you know, song and dance sequence in this movie. I want him to be, you know, a little old school, but also bring, you know, a little new school. You know what I mean? So he's like, you know, when he moves around, he's got a little Cab Calloway, he's got a little Michael Jackson in him, you know? And these are the elements that I thought was original for a Disney film that you want to bring to a villain, because the villains are always the classic characters in all these films. They kind of set the standard in terms of where your lead character is going to grow, you know? The stronger you make your villain, the stronger your lead character is.
Right.
And in this case, I knew I wanted to make it a large problem for little Tiana. Yeah.
What was it like being part of the first hand-drawn animation in so many years? Now, like when we were in Burbank, the animators seemed really excited about it, so that must have been really something. It's
no, absolutely. I mean, I'm at the point where we knew that we were making this film from a traditional hand-drawn standpoint, I think all the artists in the studio just kind of like silently put out a big yay inside of their office because, you know, because this is a style that we gravitate to the best, and these is where we tell our best stories. This medium was built from the studio and built through these artists, and so we feel like, you know, we want to uphold that mantle for making, you know, great films. And we had a great crew of artists. I mean, this is sort of the first time in the studio that the way we've always made these films in the past, there's always been, you know, different productions going on at the same time. So all the great artists were sort of spread out on different teams, if you will, right? So in this case, this is like the animation all-star team, all together, all in the same, you know, batting 1 through 9, you know, the strongest team that the studio can produce. And we knew right away they would produce the strongest results. And that's what we've got on screen.
Have you seen it?
Absolutely, yes. Saw the whole film, backwards and forwards, memorized a few lines. And it's a fantastic film. I mean, it's like I couldn't be any prouder of what we've done on the screen.
We've seen like half of it, except not so much of Dr. Facilier,
yeah.
But mostly everybody else.
Yeah, you just
fantastic.
Saw the opening of what he could be about, but you don't see what he goes through to get what he needs to get. And that's, he fits right in the classic mode of a Disney villain when you see the whole film. Some fun moments with him, for sure. Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about the evolution of the character and the Shadow Man concept?
Well, yeah, well, you know, when he was first sort of introduced to me, you know, we, you know, had a couple of drawings up to kind of describe who he was. And from that point, you know, I'm a character designer also, so I get in and I try to design the character to fit, you know, within the scope of all the other characters that have been done sort of in the Disney archive, but add something new. So I mentioned before, it's like I try to grab from every element that I think that I would love to see on a villain that we really hadn't done before. You know, right down to Once Upon a Time, you know, it's you grab the time period in New Orleans and he takes off his hat for the first time and he's got this big, fuzzy, not well-kept hairdo. You know, well, that was my plan because it's like, look, he's handmade from head to toe. You know, he's got on a jacket that's too short, pants that are too tight, you know, a vest that's so tight that it exposes his little belly, which is something that, you know, I wanted to sort of show that he's not a guy who's desired in this area. So when he takes his hat off, I wanted that to be a comedic moment. So I gave him this sort of like freaked out, you know, James Brown arrest photo hairdo. You know what I mean? And the fun starts from there, you know, with Facilier. So those are the elements that I thought that would be fun to bring to the screen with this character.
Are you working on another project now?
We're in the process of working on, but I haven't chosen yet which project I'm going to go on to. Yeah, we've got a couple of projects that have been presented in front of me, and I'm still, you know, still working it out. So,
you want to stay in the hand-drawn medium?
I'd prefer to, yes. You know, but I'm an artist that can go both ways. So, you know, the digital artists and computer artists and a hand-drawn artist. So, you know, I'm equipped for what the studio has, you know. But it's a great time in the studio right now because we've got, you know, tons of projects that the best guys are going on to, and I'm just trying to see how those projects kind of fit. But right now, I'm sort of, you know, in the midst of promoting this film and not necessarily thinking about that.
What other Disney projects have you worked on?
Wow, I go way back to Roger Rabbit. I was an animator in Roger Rabbit, and you know, all the way up through. See, I worked on Tarzan. I supervised animation on Kerchick, who was the dad gorilla in Tarzan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was my character there. And Emperor's New Groove, I played Pacha, you know, who was the sidekick of the llama, David Spade's llama. But also, I mean, in television, I created a series called The Proud Family for the Disney Channel. So I directed and created and designed a lot of those episodes. That's my Disney resume. But, I mean, I directed, you know, animation, a film called Space Jam, Michael Jordan, directed a film called Bebe's Kids way back in the day. So I've done lots of stuff, and this by far, you know, is sort of like mouth dropping just because, you know, the hype of it all. I've never worked on a film that had so much hype, so it's been great. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about how since the Pixar acquisition and John Lasseter came on board, how that's changed the studio?
Oh, it's changed the mentality of the studio entirely. I mean, John's a winner. You know, Pixar's a winner. And I think, you know, we were coming off a time where we weren't winning as many games as we wanted to. John's a winner. John brought that attitude in the studio. And John's an artist. You know, I mean, you know, he was at CalArts, my alma mater. And I know him as an artist. And just the artistic decisions that were happening within the studio were inspiring already. So we knew that we'd get that Pixar artistry and that Pixar helped them really sort of craft and tailor, you know, our films. And John is great because he knows, like, look, this is what you guys do. You guys do these types of films. You know, the Princess model is what we've done to success always. And he knew that this is what you guys need to be doing. And so that's helped us tremendously and just put the right artists in the right roles. And I think the result of that is this film.
Thank you.
Yeah. What kind of input do you have in these shows?
I'm sorry?
Yeah, in these shows that we saw.
Oh, today. These shows? Oh, you know, actually, when they approached us about, you know, these characters in the show, and so what we had to do, which was cool, actually, is, you know, in the midst of us discovering who our characters are, we gave that knowledge to the parks. Mm-hmm. So we'd sit like this in front of a video, and we'd be interviewed, and we'd be telling the actors, whoever these are around the world, between Tokyo and Los Angeles, you know, Anaheim, this is who this character is. When he's walking around the park, this is what he's about, he or she is about. This is what he does when, you know, he takes off his hat and he does this. All that stuff is sort of... So when I see the guy who's doing Dr. Facilier on the butt, I'm like, okay, good. Well, I mean, he's got the character down.
You
I mean,
need
he's
to
big.
See him slink around yeah. the...
I do. I need to see him.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I bet he is. Yeah, I'm surprised he actually can do all that and not be arrested, you know. So, so it's cool to see all the great stuff about the character sort of be, you know, put out in the parks and let these people absorb who this character is. So when they go to the movies and see, they kind of, you know, they're either rooting against him or rooting for him. But the bottom line is that he delivers. So, mm-hmm. So it's great.
Can you talk a little bit about having the an African American princess and the positive impact of that?
Oh man, it's fantastic. What's great about it is that, you know, there's going to be a whole generation of kids that is not going to know anything different. You know what I mean? It's like they know that there's an African American princess in the park, and because that's how they grew up. So it's a great way of, you know, it's that sort of big pot of gumbo that Tiana talks about all the time. It's all the ingredients now that's thrown in, you know, and I think that this princess model is exactly that. It's just now it's a complete big pot of gumbo, You know, it's like now you can walk around the parks and see what you see in America all the time.
Yeah.
You know, plenty of different faces and races and everything that makes up America. And that's the beauty of Princess and the Frog, is that it's American fairy tale. And we've never done that before. So it's something that I think will sit, especially in the hearts of all the moviegoers who will be absorbing this as sort of like, you know, it's history in the making. It's a great film. And it's something that we as a studio, we look forward to doing. This is the kind of entertainment that we always look forward to supplying.
Cool.